want to frame this way. Can a man or woman tell God what to do, and he must do it? What is the first thing that Jesus tells us to do in praying to the Father? He says, "Our Father, who is in heaven, holy or hallowed is your name." What's the next thing? "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Question. When his will is not done, though commanded to be done, or altered, what is that called? Sin. Is it not? Yes, indeed. Now, God's word he has preserved. Let's come over here. We're going to look at some things because we're going to talk a little bit about the calendar. And we are going to talk about postponements. Okay? Let's come to Romans, the 3rd chapter. Now, I'll try and make it as simple as I can. And I have a handout that I will give to you that Dwight Blevins did. Okay? Because the greatest sin of human beings in the world and in the so-called Christian religions of this world and in the churches of God is to tell God what to do. The way you tell God what to do is to do it a little differently than he said. Do you all accept the fact that God has preserved the Old Testament through the Levites and priests within the Jewish community in the diaspora? Do you accept that as true? Yes. Why? Because God can guarantee that he will do it. Remember the example of Balaam? Balak hired him to come and curse the children of Israel. And he got all this money and all this glory from Balak. And when he got up there after all the sacrifices, what did he do? He blessed Israel 7 times. And even prophesied of the coming Messiah. Now think of that. Have there been debates among the Jews, the rabbis? Yes, you have the rabbis from Jerusalem versus the rabbis in Babylon. And they had arguments all the time. One of their biggest arguments was over the calendar and the calculations for it. Now, after Jerusalem was destroyed, the successors of the Babylonian rabbis had the majority. The ones who were faithful with the word of God went to Tiberias and then over on the coast of Israel and then over to Spain. And that's how we have preserved for us the Old Testament. Now we're going to talk about something else as well. And this becomes difficult for people to accept, especially for those who want to improve on God. Have you ever tried to improve something that was perfect? You being imperfect, can that be done? Could you, with no knowledge, cut a perfect diamond? I'm talking just in the human realm now. How about God? Does not everyone in the world have an opinion of God? A belief of God, a rejection of God, which still is a belief in God? Yes. All right? So let's read it here. Verse 1. What then is the advantage of the Jews, or what profit of circumcision? Much in every way, primarily in that they were entrusted with the oracles of God, and who was the one to supervise that? For the official Old Testament and the official calendar calculations, God. All scripture is called what? God breathed, Old and New Testament. And we'll see some very important things after we eat. Verse 3, for what if some did not believe? What if some of them were atheists? What if some rejected the Messiah? What if someone didn't believe the gospel? Does that change God? No. Does that change his word? Oh, there were those who changed it. But those are all exposed and rejected. See, one thing we need to understand about God, God is faithful. And what God says will be at whatever time he says it shall be. Shall their unbelief nullify the faithfulness of God? No, because God is faithful. Consider this. Even with all the evil going on in the world and all the sin that's taking place in the world, does God still provide for everyone, night and day, food, rain? Yes, indeed. And furthermore, every life is automatically judged in their behavior, what they do, according to the laws and commandments of God, because they are spiritual and function exactly like the magnetism that holds you on the earth. God says that, Jesus said, if a sparrow falls, God even knows us. Now think about that. So for all of those of you out there in video land who are going to receive this video, if you have any ideas contrary to the word of God, or contrary to the calculations of the calculated Hebrew calendar, then you better think about your motives. Don't you think? And ask yourself the question, can you improve upon perfection? Can you change something just because someone gives you a plausible argument? That's why we're told to prove all things. Now notice what Paul writes, may it never be. Nothing of what God has said or done or will do or prophesied or had written or had given to the priesthood to preserve will God allow them to violate it so it becomes extinct. It might get down to a few people, but the truth of God is always there. And the truth of God is available. You cannot say, we accept the Old Testament that God preserved it, and say, we don't accept the calculated Hebrew calendar, because God preserved that as well. Okay? Rather, let God be true, and God is true all the time, and it's impossible for God to lie, and he is perfect. Wouldn't you say that that is the sum of the whole Bible? God is the one who commands, and men and angels are the ones who are to obey, correct? Look what happened to Lucifer and the angels that rebelled. Did God tolerate that? No. But every man a liar. Exactly as it is written, that you might be justified in your words. Now this is to God. And you might overcome when you are being judged by men. And that is the proper translation, because it is the present tense passive. You, God, are being judged. Now, how do people judge God? Oh, by looking at the Word of God? By discrediting the Word of God? By saying, well, We really don't need this. We really don't need that. Now, let me ask you a question. Everyone here and everyone in the world believes in calendar postponements. What do I mean by that? We have the Roman calendar, which is what? A solar calendar, correct? All right. How long is a solar year? 365 and a quarter days and a few minutes. What happens every fourth year in the month of February? And why do they do that? Because before they corrected the calendar in the 1500s, the Julian calendar had 365 days. So what happened in time? You lost a quarter of a day. So every year, spring would move back a quarter of a day, quarter of a day, quarter of a day. And pretty soon, they were getting into keeping the things on the Roman calendar in the actual season of the winter. So what they had to do was drop out 10 days from the calendar that they didn't count. And they did that in the 1500s, and it was the 4th of October. The next day became the 15th of October. Because they were wrong. Ever since that time, what do we have? Because you can't lose time. God accounts for every second. So what do? You say, okay, here's a quarter of a day. We'll hold that in reserve. Next year, there's another quarter of a day. We'll hold that in reserve. The next year, there's another quarter of a day, and so now you have three quarters of a day, right? Okay. Then in the fourth year, what happens? In order to keep from losing time, you postpone the 1st of March by inserting the 29th day of February. Is that not correct? Does not everybody follow that? Do they not all understand and believe that? Okay. Yet there's some people who say, well, we should not have postponements with the calculated Hebrew calendar. Who gave the calendar? God did. The last time there was an adjustment to the calculated Hebrew calendar was after the sun went back 10 degrees during the days of Hezekiah. From that time, calculated Hebrew calendar is perfectly accurate. There must be postponement. Because of the sin of mankind and the things that have happened in the heavens and on the earth, there must be adjustments to it. So God gave all the rules of the calendar. Okay? Now, let's come here to Isaiah 40. And as we're turning to Isaiah 40, let's understand something very important. Because one of the reasons that people say we should not have postponements is because they say it should be simple. Question. Foreseeing where the sun goes down and rises, where you are on the earth, and where everyone else is on the earth, when the sunrise comes to them, it's simple. You can see it, correct? When the sun goes down, Isaiah 40, let's turn there. You can see it, correct? Yes. But it's not that way with the months and the appointed times. Furthermore, while we everywhere we are on the earth, when the Sabbath comes, It's 24 hours for us, correct? But looking from space, the way that God does down at the earth, and the international dateline is in exactly the right place. Even the Maimonides in his book says it has to be way east of Jerusalem, because you can't start a day in the middle of a continent. Think of this. You have to get to the bank. Here's the dividing line, right down through the middle of Pasadena. On this side, it's tomorrow. On this side, it's today. How are you going to conduct life here? There are two banks right next to each other, one on one side of the line, one on the other side of the line. This one closes when Sunday comes, but the other one is open. You can't have it that way. So that's why God inspired the international dateline. How many saw the full moon the last two nights before tonight? Okay? That's exactly what it should be. On the 14th day of the month, it is waxing full, goes around the earth. And the 15th day, it is full, beginning to wane. That's what God designed. All right? Now then, in order to keep the time with the sun, the moon, and the stars, God had to set it in motion. Now let's come back here to Genesis, the first chapter. And let's see what God did before he began creating all kinds of life. Genesis, the first chapter. Now the sun and the moon were there, but he had to put them in the right position, because there was war in heaven, and first flood at the rebellion of the angels took place. And so God renewed the surface of the earth. In order for it to be set in the correct way for life on the earth, animal and human, he set the sun in its place and the moon in its place and the stars the way that they should be. And which day did he do that on? Day number four. And he said, verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day and the night, and let them be for signs and for appointed seasons. Who does the appointing? God does. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, had made them, the greater light to rule by the day, the lesser light to rule by the night, and God made the stars also. He set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. So he put them in the right place. So there would be coordination between the earth, the moon, the sun, and the stars. Now then, let's look at an example of something. We'll just mention it, two examples. After God had Moses set up the tabernacle and everything, and it was raised up at the precise time that God wanted it raised up, he told Aaron and his sons that there was to always be the fire on the altar. Was never to go out. His two sons, Nadab and Abihu, let it go out. And they said, oh, we can't let anyone know this. What they should have done was run to Aaron and say, Father, the fire went out. And he could have gone to the candle where it was burning and taken some of that holy fire and continued the fire on the altar, but didn't do it. They said, we'll put fire on there. What happened to them? Bang, they lost their lives because they disobeyed God and they changed what God said to put strange fire instead of fire that he had blessed. All right? So can a man tell God what to do, either by action or in words? Let's look at another example. God told the children of Israel, we're ready to go into the land. They said, okay, send out spies. They sent out the spies. They were gone 40 days. They came back. And you know the story there. 10 of the spies said, oh, we can't possibly do this. They're too strong. The cities are fortified and there are giants out there. And you know what happened? Caleb and Joshua said, no, God will be with us. He'll fight our battles for us. We'll make it. No, we don't want to go. We don't want to go. We don't want to go. So God said, all right, you're not going to go. You are going to wander another 38 and a half years, making a total of 40 years. You're going to wander in this wilderness, and all of those who are over 20 are going to die. Oh, God, don't do that. Oh, boo-hoo, God, don't do that. So what happened? The next morning they said, we're going to go. We're going to go. Moses said, don't go. God is not with you. We're going to go. What happened? They were driven back, and a lot of them were killed. Question. Can anyone tell God what to do? No. All right. Let's come here to Psalm 19. Let's see something what God says about the appointed times. Now you know that in, just put in your notes there, Leviticus 23. And there it is, these are the feast of the Lord, the appointed feast, which you shall keep in their seasons. And he names the month and the date, correct? Yes. Psalm 19. Let's read it here. The appointed times were established where? In the heavens. That's God's realm. Notice, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day after day, day pours forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Everyone knows about the earth and the heavens, correct? By seeing them. But who controls them? God does. It reflects his character, reflects his glory. Now, based on the heavens, verse 7, the law of God is perfect. Think on that. Restoring the soul, the testimony of the Lord is right, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now that means how he has given everything that is not written here. You find no calendar in the Bible. You find evidence of it. And if anyone desires, we have got 4 videos on the calculated Hebrew calendar because puny men like to try and change it. The rules that God has given are necessary to keep it functioning. Just like I explained with the quarter day on the Roman calendar. Okay? Now come here to Psalm 119. This is how our attitude needs to be concerning God and what he has given, his word, and his calculated Hebrew calendar. Another question. How many in the Church of God understand astro mathematics and physics to make the correct judgment on what needs to be? Zero. Not even NASA has it right. God's way is better. Now, let's pick it up here. Verse 27, Psalm 119, verse 127. Psalm 119, verse 127. Okay? Well, let's go up back to 126. Psalm 119, verse 126. Okay? It is time for the Lord to work, for they have made void your law. That sure describes our day, doesn't it? Yes, indeed. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all your precepts. All your precepts concerning what I choose to accept to be right. No, all things concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Now, we need to think on that. I have seen all of the proposed calendars. When I did those four videos, and I was so fired up about all the destruction that was happening to the brethren, that I did those four videos one after the other in one day. 6 hours. We've got a big stack of things here. How many have read Sanctification of the New Moon, the translation by Gansfried and Golden, written by Maimonides in the 1100s AD? Oh, but he was a rabbi. Could God control a rabbi to write the correct things? Well, the calendar wasn't invented until 352 or 354 AD. By Hillel II. He invented it. Nonsense. He was so afraid because of the intense persecution against the Jews by the Romans that he released it for public distribution everywhere so it would be known, so that what God had given would not be lost. And too many people misunderstand that. All right? Now let's come back to Isaiah, the 40th chapter, and let's read something here, okay? Isaiah 40. Here is God's answer to every man, every woman, every demonic agent of Satan the devil concerning resistance against the word of God, concerning usurping the authority of God. See, God makes it clear. Listen, brethren, the way to true understanding, the way to true freedom, the way to true love is to love God the Father and Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, and soul and being. Believe what God has given. Count everything that God says, all of his precepts and judgments, as altogether right. That will make us the most intelligent people in the world, because all of that will come from God, not from the universities of this world or the think tanks of this world. And God calls them in Romans, the first chapter, when they profess themselves to be wise, what does he call them? Fools. Isn't it foolish to go against God? Look what happens. So God says, let's pick it up here in verse 12. Now, if you can do this, then you can have authority to change the calendar. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Well, you probably couldn't even pick up a 55-gallon barrel of water, let alone everything that's on the earth. And meted out the heavens with a span. He put them all in their place. Who has comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in balance, in a balance? Think of that the next time you see a documentary about these great mountains and you look at how you can see the strata turned up just like this. All you have to do is drive up north, going to Hollister, and you go through the mountains there, and they're all like this. They were at one time like this. Who made them like this? God did. He made all the mountains. He created everything on the earth. Now notice this. When you declare that something God has provided, that it's wrong and you don't need it, which is what is happening when you declare that postponements are not necessary, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or who was his counselor that he might instruct him? Are you not trying to instruct God when you say of the calculations that he has given? God, we shouldn't have postponements. Oh, well, you're quite correct. Excuse me, let me take them away. Really? With whom did he take counsel and instructed him or taught him in the path of judgment? And who taught him knowledge and who made known the way of understanding to him? What are you going to tell God? The whole Christian world out there has done this. And too many within the Church of God. They're not willing to humble themselves like Jesus did. As Mike brought out, I of my own self can do nothing. Behold, the nations are like a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the scales. Behold, he takes up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast of it sufficient for a burnt offering. Now mark this verse. All nations. How many people are there on the earth? Just oven by themselves. Now, God has a glorious plan for them. But compared to what God is, compared to what God has made, compared to what God has created, stop and think about it. The arrogance of human beings that God has made to stand up in the face of God and tell him he's wrong. Remember the parable of the potter? Shall the thing say to the maker, what have you made? I'll make something else. Think about it. And human beings want God on their side, but God says, you come on my side. Let's read on. They are counted by him as less than nothing and vanity. To whom will you compare God, or what likeness will you compare him? Then he talks about making an idol. Look at all those dumb, stupid idols. Okay? Verse 21, have you not known? Those of us in the church, have we not known? Yes, indeed. Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? He's talking to all humankind down through all time. It is he who sits upon the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. It is he who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Who brings the rulers to nothing, he makes the judges of the earth his vanity. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, then he shall blow upon them and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away like stubble. Want to fight against God? Well, I'm not fighting against God. I just think that we don't need postponements. Does that not count? No. It's in error. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Lord? Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who created these things? Who made time? Who made human beings? Who made everything in the earth? God did. He brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might. He is strong in power. Not one fails. Let's apply that. Let's take the appointed times and let's look at a couple of scriptures, okay? Let's come here first to Revelation 13 and verse 8. Because here is something that God did from the foundation of the earth, and was that on day 4. Because the crucifixion in 30 AD was on day 4. And that was planned from the foundation of the earth. Verse 8. Second part of it. Those who dwell on the earth will worship the beast, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb. Okay. Are our names written in the book of life? Yes. Remember what Jesus told the church at Sardis. If you strengthened a few things that remain, I will not blot your name out of the book of life. See? Because we have to be faithful to the end. Isn't that correct? Yes, indeed. Book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And that is the prophetic perfect that Michael referred to. That when he proclaimed it would be, it was as good as done the minute that God said it. Because God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. All right. Now, let's come here to Galatians, the 4th chapter. Because God does things according to the appointed times. Likewise, there was a specific time for Jesus to be born. And everything had to be planned and coordinated according to the calculated Hebrew calendar that God gave to man and to his church so they would know that it did occur on that day. Now, we don't know what day it was when he said, slain from the foundation of the world. Was that on day 4 when he set the sun, moon, and stars in place, which then have all of the appointed times? We don't know. That can only be a guess on our part, but God did it. All right? Verse 4, Galatians 4. Let's read it. For when the time for the fulfillment came, this is for Jesus to be born, God sent forth his own son, born of a woman, under law. Subject to law. Yes, indeed. All right. At a set time. Let's look at another one. Let's come here to Mark, the 1st chapter. Mark, the 1st chapter. Mark, the 1st chapter. All right. Let's pick it up here in verse 14. Now, we need to think on this. God has done these things at the set time. Now, what I want you all to do is to read the appointed times of Jesus the Messiah. There was an appointed time for him to be baptized, to be tempted of Satan the devil. There is appointed time for him to be born, as we just read. There's appointed time for preaching the gospel. Let's read it. Now, after the imprisonment of John, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time has been fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is near at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, what happened when he came? Well, we'll find out, because we're going to look at some Greek after we're done eating. Was on time. Question, if God is perfect, is he ever late? Do you ever think of that? Let's come to Romans 5. Let's tie this in with the crucifixion again. Romans, the 5th chapter. And with this, I want you to understand that what God is doing in our lives is so much bigger, so much greater, so much more fantastic than when we first started to learn. Romans 5 and verse 6. Verse 6 reads, for even when we were without strength at the appointed time, God died for the ungodly. What I'm going to do is pass out a piece of paper. I'm not going to faint. Now, I want to focus in on the Passover and how God did it with the calendar. And this is all with the calculated Hebrew calendar with the postponements. And in the year when Jesus was born, there were postponements. In the year that he was crucified, there were postponements. And God set the calendar so that we do not have back-to-back Sabbath and Holy Day, or Holy Day and Sabbath, with the exception of the commanded feast of Pentecost. He set it that way for a purpose, and I explain it in the videos and the material that we have. Does everybody have a copy now? Okay. See, what God is looking for in all of us is to love him with all our heart, mind, and soul, and being. Okay? God wants us converted in our minds and in our hearts. And in order to do that, we have to yield to God completely. Now, that's going to make you strong, not make you weak. That is going to give you confidence and truth. So let's just read it here. Now, if there's any one man in the Church of God who knows about the calculated Hebrew calendar and all the numbers involved, okay? Now, before we get started, I want to bring you your attention to this. You can find this in the Harmony of the Gospels. When was the lamb to be chosen? For Passover. 10th day. John 12, the voice from heaven is God's choosing Jesus as the Lamb of God. Okay? Now then, that's on a Sabbath. Inclusive counting until he was resurrected on the next Sabbath is 8 days. 8 is the number of new beginnings. He was crucified on the 4th day, the same day that the sun and the moon and stars were set in motion on the 4th day. This is the 4th day of the week. And it had to be on the 4th day of the week on a Wednesday in order to have 3 days and 3 nights in the grave. See? And it's all right there. Now, here is why the calculated Hebrew calendar is so good. And why we have it posted online. You can simply put in the year and punch it up, and it will give you the dates. Now then, here's what Dwight wrote. We'll skip a paragraph or two that he has in reference to music. Just like any fact of Scripture, all information rightly handled is cumulative, adding one fact upon another to finally arrive at a conclusion of truth. That's called growing in grace and knowledge. Planned for perhaps hundreds, thousands, or even millions of years before the foundation of the earth, it was apparently determined that Passover and the year of the crucifixion had to fall on Wednesday. Given this requirement, one might assume that very likely an uncomplicated scenario would be set up with calendar declarations, so this event would have minimal room for error, right? That's how we would do it. Yes. Not so. It seems for the most narrow of possibilities was chosen, a year and a date that could maximize the possibility of error, yet the timing of the 62 weeks, Jesus' ministry, the week, the day, the year of his death was pulled off in a flawless manner, fulfilling many of the most important prophecies in the history of the universe. Here's the point. all declarations of Tishri 1, that's the first day of the seventh month, and that's the how the calendar is calculated, which occur on a weekday Tuesday, are pretty unique. Such declarations falling on Tuesday occur only for years of 354 or 384 days. These are the average numbers of the length of the common 12-month and 7-13-month interlace of leap years in the 19-year Metonic cycle. Now, the Greeks did not invent the Metonic cycle. God did. Why? Because you have to keep everything in coordination. A full year of the lunar year is short compared to a solar year. So therefore, at seven times in a 19-year time cycle, there is an added month given called Adar 2. This keeps everything in coordination. All right? Now continuing. Many of us are creatures of habit. Often when we think of 30 AD and the year of the crucifixion, we first focus on the Day of Trumpets, 30 AD, then in mind count backtrack to Wednesday Passover almost 6 months earlier. Passover always falling 3 days earlier in the week compared to the Feast of Trumpets at the onset of the seventh month. That is 3 days in the week. Nothing necessarily wrong with this mindset, except that when we do this sort of thing, technically we are moving in reverse order of the fact. That is, the Hebrew calendar calculations run on a counting method aligned with the civil year with respect to any Passover bears reference not to the successive, the Feast of Trumpets ahead, almost 6 months later, but to the Feast of Trumpets which occurred in the fall of the solar year before. So, it is really the previous Day of Trumpets that sets the cadence of the calculated Hebrew calendar, not Tishri 1, which follows later, most months after the day of Passover. Then, in the sense of a civil year, according to the progression of appointed times, Passover day becomes the fifth appointed time. What is the number of grace? 5. Interesting. See, all these numbers add up. And not the first, as we often view Nisan and 14. From this perspective, Pentecost becomes the eighth appointed time, and something he's already coordinated to, always following the days of the eighth course of Abia. What was the eighth course of Abia? Anybody remember? That's when John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, was doing his priestly duty. And Pentecost fell at the time he was doing it. Okay? So you have the eighth feast from the beginning of the civil year to the eighth course of Abia to bring in the beginning of the new order starting with John the Baptist. You see? Just like the first sentence says, you add, you add, you add, you add, you add, you add. You don't subtract. Okay. Jesus in 30 AD, having seen his disciples for 40 days on Thursday, the 27th of Iyar, the 44th day of his, after his 44th day of his crucifixion or from his crucifixion, returned to the heavens to begin as high priest just 2 days before the service of the eighth course, which was Pentecost. What happened on Pentecost 30 AD? The Holy Spirit came, correct? Yes, so you see how God works. Okay, we will bypass the next paragraph because that has to do with music. But we have digressed. Again, In order for Passover 30 AD to fall on Wednesday, the previous Tishri 1, 29 AD, had to occur on a Tuesday, the least likely day for trumpets to occur on. Now, Passover had to fall on Wednesday, otherwise the prophecy of the 3 days and three nights could not stand. The day of the way sheaf offering would be off, the count to Pentecost falling apart. All important prophetic time seems to be ordered by the number four, the half-octave day Wednesday of the seven-day weekly cycle. See why it's important that we do not presume to tell God, oh, we don't need postponements. Oh, it's okay to have a Sabbath and then the Feast of Trumpets or have the Feast of Trumpets and then a Sabbath. See? God has set it His way. His time schedule is what we are to follow, and His time schedule follows the calculated Hebrew calendar, not what we think. Now, note this. Yet the declaration on Tuesday, 29 AD, had only 11.5% possibility of occurrence, the lowest percentage of all days for the declaration of Tishri 1. But that's just where the complications begin. Not only did trumpets have to fall on a Tuesday, 29 AD, it also had to be a year of 354 days, else the Passover the next spring would not occur on a Wednesday. That's why God has done it His way. Yet, that's only the second of many complications necessary to ensure that the Passover be declared on Wednesday. Necessary to ensure that the Passover would be declared on Wednesday, and that should read 30 AD instead of 20. The next hurdle is that the 384-day year can also begin on a Tuesday, which occurs 5.26% of the time, or 1/19th of the time. Therefore, since only years of 354 may begin on a Tuesday, the sum of these days amounting to 11.5% leaves us with the fact that 11.5 minus the 5.6 gives us a 6.64 chance of trumpets 29 AD would be declared on a Tuesday, so that the Passover in 30 AD would fall on a Wednesday. See, now what we're dealing with is the mind of God. Now, this may be making your head swim just a little bit, but you have to understand God makes it so that it will work. All right. We just have a few paragraphs to read, and then we'll finish. But that's only the third part of the complication, yet more to add. On Monday, September 25th, 29 AD, the astronomical conjunction of Tishri, Jerusalem time, fell at 2:11 p.m. in the afternoon. When it falls afternoon, you must declare the next day. So that meant this fell on Monday. At 2:11, you declare Tuesday. Thus, no chance whatsoever that the new moon crescent could occur in just a few hours after sunset. So all of those who say you have to see the new moon are wrong, because of the sins of men and the disturbances in the heavens, it must be calculated in order for everything to be on time. Let's go on. The Molad of Tishri occurred even later in that day, falling at 5:31 p.m., and at 6 o'clock, it goes into the next day. 5:31 Jerusalem time, late Monday afternoon, very near the close of the day, and within less than a half hour of the conjunction of Elul and Tishri. It would have made it in the wrong month of that year. Therefore, with a Molad calculation, well past noon, by postponement rules, the next day, Tuesday, 29 AD, was declared the Day of Trumpets, strictly by calculations alone, as any visual of a crescent would have been an impossibility at sunset Monday evening as Trumpets begins. Now, let's stop and think for just a minute. Since this is true with calendar calculations, and there are postponements within these calculations for the timing of Jesus' birth and the timing of his death, which was set how long ago? Therefore, God made it all happen in spite of how men may want to calculate it or figure it. Okay? Let's go on. We just have three more paragraphs. So we are done with the complications of such declaration and requirements to assure a Wednesday Passover 30 AD? Question. Not quite. There is yet a fifth to add. In order for Trumpets 29 AD to occur on a Tuesday, the previous year had to be a leap year, moving the first day of the new year to a month and molad time that would cause the declaration to rightly fall on the required day of the week, enabling a Wednesday Passover the following year. Therefore, a strict cyclical cadence of the 19-year Metonic cycle had to be already in place and functioning long before the time of Jesus' birth and ministry. Now notice this. The eighth year, there's that number again, eight, of the 19-year cycle is a leap year, and Tishri 1, 29 AD, was declared one day of the ninth civil year of the Metonic cycle, the year of Jesus' death, a civil year of 354 days. No wiggle room in any of this. If calendar rules as we know them were in force, bottom line, from a human perspective, this was the worst possible choice and scenario, which would encourage the possibility of error yet again regarding timing, a book-perfect example of how God orders his plan. What he has predetermined will always happen with exact precision, seeing that he is able to declare the end from the beginning. There was a 93.76% possibility of error, but everything passed through the window of 6.24% window of time, just as God planned. Trumpets was declared on Tuesday in 22, 29, and 42 AD. These were the only years for Tuesday in that era. 22 was way too early, 42 considerably late. Therefore, no doubt, 29 was the year that began on a Tuesday, and 30 AD, the spring which produced a Passover on the weekday of Wednesday, all due to Hebrew calendar rules of declaration. Now, you may not understand some of this, and it may be a little over your head, but go back and reread it again. And if you need some of that calendar material, we will send it to you. And it will be eye-opening again. So I ask the question again. For anyone, wherever this may go, who have thoughts to the contrary concerning anything that God has given in his word or in his calendar, can you tell God what to do. Think about that.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.